All right. Good morning, everyone. Danny Richard here from ACFO. Thank you very much for joining us at the REPT teleconference. If you're hearing this, it's because you managed to log in, which is great. But just so you know, some of the lines are being maximized in terms of capacity, so some of your fellow coworkers are trying to join might not be able to do so. So we will be sharing this audio recording to the reps afterwards. So you don't need to take any minutes. We're going to be circulating it. We're also going to be sharing this with the membership at large. If they want to listen, they can just go to our website or download it, or we'll figure out a way to share it afterwards. We are currently at the ACFO office. I'm here with Scott Chamberlain. He's our Director of Labor Relations, General Counsel, and our negotiator. In light of COVID-19, we are trying really to limit our exposure, so we're really social distancing right now. If you go on the Slack app, you will see a picture of Scott and I in the office. We always encourage you to go on Slack. There's information we share on there as well. As part of this conference, thanks to Lauren Doty for setting it up. As you know, Lauren, you've been receiving communications from her, and thanks for Karen Hall, who I know is trying to log in right now. She's the chair of the REP program. We've shared the agenda with you guys. We will be tackling that in a different order. We're going to talk about COVID-19 first. I think it's the most important issue. But just to let you guys know, we've muted the line, so even if you try to speak, it will not work because there's so many of you on the line right now. What we are asking you to do for comments is to use Slido like we did last time. So I'm going to be sharing the code to use the Slido. Actually, Lauren shared it, but I'm going to let you know how that works. If you go to slido.com, that's S-L-I-D-O, Slido. It's going to ask you for a conference code or an event code. That code is ACFO-ACAF, all in one word. No spaces, no hyphens. ACFO-ACAF. By logging in there, you can ask questions anonymously. You can view the other questions that are being asked, and that's really the mode we will be asking you to communicate with us if you have any questions regarding any of the agenda items. You can also email us, obviously, but we really want to make sure we address them as they come in, so feel free to ask your questions. That's what the mode will be privileging. So how to start, friends? So COVID-19, I'm sure you guys are well aware there's lots of communication right now going out, which makes it even challenging. Very conflicting information. This morning, Ontario announced a state of emergency. Quebec was another day. Depending which province you're calling from, might be different issues, different situations. So at ACFO, what we've been doing since last week is urging the OCRO, the Office of the Chief Human Resources Officer, to issue a blanket statement that is clear. Because the challenge we're facing right now is twofold. The first one is the message from OCRO was, we strongly encourage everyone to telework, which, you know, don't get me wrong, is a step in the right direction, but that is left up to interpretation, and not all managers will interpret that message the same way. The second challenge is different departments are applying different procedures, and even within certain departments, I'm sure you've seen some of your coworkers, your fellow coworkers being affected and you're not. So last night, we issued our statements, and for clarity, I want to be very blunt here. Unless your duties are critical, stay home. If your manager is asking you to come to work, ask them to put that in writing, because we need to know why. Ask them that your union is asking your manager put it in writing, and let us know so we can actually escalate this if need be. I am not saying that every FI will not go to work. What I am saying is, if your manager is asking you to physically come to work, please ask them why that is if you're not critical. And I can't give you a definition of critical, but I suspect there's probably less than 100 of our members out of 5,000 that are actually critical. What I mean by that is, if you're not showing up to work, there's going to be serious ramifications. The year-end deadlines, although important, year-end is not critical. It's important, but it's not critical. To that effect, this morning I reached out to the Controller General of Occupé to ask them if we can push back their year-end deadlines. He said yes. A communique will be sent out ensuring us that the typical year-end deadlines will be adjusted to reflect the times in which we live in. If you are teleworking, I know there's an issue with bandwidth. I completely understand that not anyone can telework all at the same time if they're trying to access the network. So as your departments, I'm sure, have told you, please limit your access to need only. So get what you need and get off the network. I know certain departments like TDS will be booting people off if they are trying to access it when they shouldn't be. So please telework. Now, if for some reason you are unable to telework, for example, if you don't have a laptop or you don't have the network capabilities and you're unable to telework, still stay home. Inform your manager and ask them, look, I'm unable to telework, but I'm not critical. I will be staying home. If they say no, because you can't telework, you have to report to work. Get them to put that in writing and please forward it over to us, because again, unless you're critical, you should not be reporting to work. For those of you that are teleworking, because of the school closures, I suspect that your kids will be around, they will be impacting your productivity. Some of you may not be able to telework because you have to care for your kids. We have had confirmation from the employer that you will be paid to stay home, even though you might not be as productive. Now, what's important is to disclose this to the employer. We want to make sure that you're being transparent with the employer and saying, you know what, look, I will be teleworking, but I might not be as productive because I do have to care for my kids. So what we are telling you is something we strongly believe, but we want to make sure you're transparent with your manager, and if for some reason they disagree, please ask them to get that in writing and tell them that your union has requested it to put this in writing. The reason why I say put it in writing is people are much more likely to take things seriously and maybe double verify before they put it in writing that will be sent to the unions. I can tell you we've reached out to certain departments to inform them that what they're doing is not in line with what's being said at a very higher level. So what we're trying to do is avoid the middleman here and really go straight to the top so that we speak to the Comptroller General of Canada, the Chief Human Resources Officer, so that we have those guiding principles at a very high level, so that at the end of the day, we're not putting anyone in danger or in unnecessary danger, because we want to make sure everyone is safe. I'll turn over to Scott now to see if you have any comments to add there. Scott?
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Just a couple more points. There's a difference between being designated essential and being in a critical position. However, I think it's fair to say that critical positions will most often come from that pool of people that are already designated essential, but it's not that entire group. So that's important. We don't have a further definition of it, but if your position is not essential, if ACFO was to strike, it's unlikely that it's going to be critical.
Right.
Now, some departments, there's going to be more FIs in critical positions. I'll give you one example, CSC. Some of our members there are designated to be peace officers in the event that a number of CXs go down ill. So we're working with CSC. That's probably a special case, that department, and we'll issue more directions later today. Another common misconception out there, many departments have sent out communiques a few days ago on this, NCR is not differentiated from the regions now. It's the same default in the regions as NCR. Further, if you have symptoms of COVID-19, if you have a family member who's immunocompromised, let's say your spouse is undergoing chemotherapy right now, and if you bring something home, it's going to be very detrimental to them, even if you're critical, the employer has to accommodate. And any of those situations, you need to contact LR immediately, and we will assist you. Furthermore, if your manager is pushing for sick notes, please let LR know. The employer is dispensing with the need for sick notes. It's not in the interest of our communities to have sick people or not sick people clogging up doctors' offices and emergency rooms. That's the current state of affairs. Just also like to mention that Danny is in constant contact with departments. We are attending an OCRO call every day for updates. And at that update, we're providing them with information from the ground on non-complying departments. So just want to reassure everybody, if you're seeing something that looks like it's not what your department is saying, we are taking our lead from the discussions at OCRO and with the OCG. And if you think your department's messaging is behind, it probably is.
and it'll likely be updated within 24 hours. I think that's it, Danny.
Thank you, Scott. That's a good point to bring up. This information is valid as of today, March 17th. That's 11:40 a.m., but it is constantly changing, and that's why it's important to make sure that we're communicating with you guys. So as soon as we have new information, we're updating you. We sent an update on, I think it was Saturday, another one yesterday. It will most likely change, but at this point, the fact that the government is really encouraging everyone to stay home and telework, I think, is a sign, a step in a good direction. I would also ask if you can, you know, if you need to have access to the network, try to access it later at night, just to download what you need. This is one thing the employer is really stressing, that for most departments, they really don't have the capacity, the bandwidth, so that everyone's on the same time, and we're cognizant of that, but it's not because you don't have access to the network that the employer should say, well, you have to come to work because, you know, you're not deemed essential, so you can't be accessing online. If anything the employer is saying really doesn't make sense to you or you feel unsafe, please reach out to us. What we really want is to ensure is the safety right now of the workers, the greater public, and if because someone is misinterpreting a policy or they're unsure and they're afraid to make a call, please let us know. We're more than happy to intervene on your behalf, because what we need is swift action right now, and that's why we're trying to get this information out to you guys as soon as possible. I'm going to Slack right now. We had a question regarding the year-end deadlines. As I just mentioned, the year-end deadlines will be extended. I don't know what the exact dates will be, but you know, to me, the year-end work is very important, and normally it's time-sensitive, but it is not critical. What I mean by that, if we don't produce the financial statements or the PAYEs aren't done, no one's going to die. And maybe a lot of people's bonuses are in play here, but it's not critical is what I'm saying. In terms of the rep conference, is that canceled? No, it will be postponed to a later date. So the Spring Tune-Up Plus, the rep conference, which are scheduled to occur in June, will be rescheduled. We are looking at different dates, obviously, so that will be postponed. We'll keep you up to date. I can assure you no one will be out of pocket. If you can't attend, you can cancel. Everything will be fully reimbursed. That's not an issue there. Reading some more questions here. So if we can't access it – oh, sorry, Scott, go ahead.
I can take one. Someone's asking to speak more to what the employer has to accommodate in situations where the employee has symptoms or a family member has symptoms. So what we're talking about here is even if you're in a critical position, the employer still has its obligations to accommodate employees for human rights matters. For example, if your spouse can't be exposed to this in particular and your employer is telling you to go to work still, they're discriminating against you on the basis of family status, and we're going to help you with that. If you are sick and they're telling you to go to work, they're discriminating against you on the basis of your medical condition. That's what I mean by that. They have to accommodate you if you have symptoms or you have a family member at greater risk than your average family member.
Thank you, Scott. There's a couple of questions here regarding networks. So let me try to clarify this. We all have deadlines. We all have work to do. And the employer now is stressing that they want to leave the bandwidth for those who need the critical duties. So if your manager is saying you can't access the network, so because of that, you need to come to work, get them to say this in email and send it to us. What I'm saying is it's not because you're unable to access the network that you shouldn't be staying home. I ask you to be transparent with your supervisor and say, you know what, look, I know I can't access the network. I'll see what I can do offline. There might be a loss of productivity, but the fact that you cannot access the network is not an excuse for the employer to force you to go to work. If they are, please ask them to get this in writing and send it to us. You can still be productive even though you don't have access to the network. And even if you can't be productive, if you were to say, Danny, if I don't have access to the network, there's nothing I can do, then be transparent, let your boss know about this, because for safety, you're still staying home. And if they're saying no, come to work, because I don't want you twiddling your thumbs at home. Please let us know.
There's another question on Slido. Actually, it's not on Slido, sorry. There's another point we need to make on school closures. Just so everyone understands what the process is, first, if you have children that are now at home because of a school closure, you're first expected to try and make alternate arrangements. Maybe you have a spouse at home and can care for the children like myself. That would be your first line. Make alternate arrangements. Secondly, you're to telework if possible. And thirdly, if you're not able to do either of the first things, you're to be put on leave with pay for other reasons. And I have another question on leave with pay for other reasons from Andrew at VAC. And he's asking, if you're on sick leave, will that be changed to leave without pay later on? I do want to stress that if you're on a form of leave previously approved, or if you're sick for another reason, or if you're sick with symptoms, that's what sick leave is there for. So they're using leave for other reasons and circumstances where you're not sick, but you have to self-isolate. You still have to use your forms of leave for the purpose that they're there for in the interim. I'm not going to say 100% that this isn't going to be all changed in a matter of weeks. I think that's probably a fluid thing, but in the meantime, if you're sick, you actually use sick leave.
Yeah. There's another one on doctor's notes, Scott. Before you take that, though, someone asked, if you feel safe and prefer to work, and prefer to actually go to work and work from the office because you're not ergonomically set up for home, what's our take on that? We can't force you to stay home, but I would strongly advise you to try and stay home if you can. If you feel as if you cannot work from home because you're not ergonomically set up, I would advise your employer of that and say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable with working from home. I don't have the setup. My back is hurting. Be transparent with your manager. Inform them of this. But I would strongly advise you not to go to work unless you absolutely want to. But even there, Scott, you're taking that one?
Yeah, again, the fact that that you don't have the proper equipment to work from home, that includes ergonomic equipment. People have ergonomic equipment for medical reasons, and it's the employer's responsibility to provide you with that laptop you need, with that VPN connection, with that bandwidth, and with that ergonomic equipment. And so if you cannot possibly work from home, then you go on paid leave for other reasons. So it's not an excuse that the employer should be giving you that they don't have the necessary equipment for you to telework. If they don't, then you should be on paid leave unless you're in a critical position.
Scott, did we answer that one? This one, if you have symptoms, does the employer require a doctor's note?
The direction from OCRO presently is they should not be requiring medical certification for symptoms or self-isolation.
Basically, you want to avoid people going into the healthcare system to avoid this. So self-isolation is the key here. Another question, if the employer advises not to access the network but advises to stay home, do we use code 699 for leave? The priority right now is for you to be at home and be transparent with your manager. So as long as you're at home, the type of leave can be figured out afterwards. Now, let Scott jump in here, but my advice to you would be you let your employer know, say, you know what, I can't access the network. I'm limited in the type of work I can do. Here's my plan. Be transparent. If the employer then says, well, every hour that you're not able to work, I want you to document that and then code it, that can be figured out later on. But the priority is at least you are home and you're being paid to stay home. You're not affected by your paycheck. Scott?
Yeah, I'll just reiterate what Danny said there. But also, you know, when in doubt, contact your manager and ask for directions. So if you're home and you can do some work that doesn't require being online, they can legitimately ask you to do that. Your manager may send you online training and ask you to do it. That doesn't require a connection with the intranet. So stay in contact with your manager, and if you're not getting clear or fair feedback from the manager, contact us. That's what we're here for.
There's one here that says if we're sick but management has the expectation that you should still work from home. No, if you're sick, you're not working, right? So you can still take a sick day if you're feeling sick. You telework if you can. If you can't telework, you inform the employer. But if you are sick, you can say, look, I am sick, and I'll be taking the appropriate sick days because I can't perform any of my duties.
Likewise, if you are at home for a sickness that is not COVID-19, the information about sick notes doesn't apply to that necessarily. But I think that those will be particular circumstances where you should reach out to LR.
All right, I think we've addressed most of these questions in some way, shape, or form. So if you have more questions on these, and again, if you joined us later, to ask questions, you go to slido.com, you put in the code is ACFOACAF, and you'll have access to the questions, and Lauren sent the email on this yesterday, so you can actually see the code there as well. Moving on here to the next topic, the CT group. So, Scott, I'll let you provide an update with the controllership group.
Thanks, Danny. I think for a lot of the things we're going to report on now, you should know that by default, everything is a bit in advance. So everybody's working full-time on the COVID-19 response at the senior ranks in government, the senior ranks in departments, and at the union right now. But currently, the CTEAVs, the former auditors from the Professional Institute, have been integrated into the ACFO family. We sent out welcome packages to them. We are handling grievances for the CTEAVs. In terms of the internal auditors, formerly members of the Alliance, we do not have them integrated into the fold yet. But if there is any internal auditor that needs assistance, we do have representation rights for them, and they should contact us. In terms of CT, I think that's where we're at right now, Danny. It's sort of on hold pending the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, as you can imagine here, friends, a lot of the priorities for the government will be on hold. COVID-19 is taking a lot of the resources, a lot of the bandwidth, and rightfully so. So that's why even for your duties, anything that was a priority might get shifted over, and we just want to make sure that you're not impacted. So if this would impact any of your performance assessment, it shouldn't, right? Everything will need to be adapted. These are really a one-off situation that a lot of departments are activating their business continuity plans. So this should not affect you in terms of performance, management performance, or your deadlines. We have to adjust to be more considerate. So if anything is not making any sense, please reach out to us. We had someone else ask us, what about employees on reduced work week that need to enter their hours via Phoenix? So reach out to your manager to try to enter that, and you should not be impacted. If for some reason it doesn't work or there's an issue, please let us know. We can find a way to work around that one. Next on the agenda is an update on Phoenix. You've probably heard by now in the media that the employer has selected a potential provider for the next gen SAP. So there was three people in the runnings. As I mentioned a few times, there was Ceridian, Workday, and SAP. SAP is being awarded the contract. Well, it's being starting here, the customization process. There will be a few departments as used as a test pilot. So a small department and a big department. The departments have not been selected yet. There's a couple of names being thrown out there. One of the things that made clear, though, is before they can move to the new system, which will take a couple of years, if I had to guess 3 to 5 years, they'll need to fix Phoenix to be able to transfer it over to the new system, the next gen. And if you're asking, well, if it's fixed, why would we then move over? Because by the time it is fixed, it'll probably be already obsolete. So they're working on the new system right now. ACFO is part of the committee that is overlooking the new system. Unfortunately, we weren't consulted in terms of which provider they will take. Our main thing was to make sure that the system is robust and tested, and we have a backup plan. The good thing about SAP, as you know, is it could more easily integrate to the financial system. But that being said, we are a decade at least away from that, because before we try to integrate everything, let's try to get one thing that we're doing properly and get that right. I suspect right now for you guys, there's not going to be any immediate impact. So now they have to start to work the customization of SAP for it to work. So for now, for the next foreseeable future, it's still going to be the Phoenix being used until we can actually switch over. Someone asked online, I just want to confirm that something will be coming out later today for employees working for CSC. Yes. So CSC is one of the departments that, typically speaking, is deemed more essential, more critical. So there is more difficulty here determining who's critical, who's not. But, yeah, the communique will be sending out to CSC, because there's more FIs there that are having difficulty to telework because they're being told, no, you have to come in because basically everyone's critical, which is not the case.
Yeah, it may not be from CSC. That's yet to be determined. But there's certainly going to be a discussion at the OCRO meeting in terms of the special circumstances of CSC event.
Item number four, the union dues increase. For those of you that were at our AGM this past November, or for those that voted online, one of the many proposals on there was to dues increase to really offset the fact that for the past 9 years there were no dues increase. So I've received confirmation from PSPC that the dues increase has been programmed. It should work properly. But as you know, with Phoenix, we've heard that many times that, oh, everything's going to be fine. So it should take an effect April 1st. As you know, the dues increase is a net amount of $6 on your paycheck. So it's $12 a month, $6 on your paycheck. We'll be posting that on our website as a reminder so that members are aware. And thanks to Renee for a reminder on that one. So if ever you have issues on your pay, please let us know ASAP. The employer has assured us it won't have any impact, but I won't take their word for it. So I trust you guys more than I trust the employer. Item number five, non-advertised competitions. This is something we've mentioned to you guys a few times now, and it's really starting to snowball. We sent in an ATIP request, it's not almost a year ago now, but close to it, from the big departments asking them, you know, how many non-advertised are they doing? Because we're getting more and more emails from members saying that people are being promoted and there's no competitions. It's their coworkers, and it's we're not saying that people that are promoted aren't competent, that they don't deserve it, but FIs are wondering, well, how come this person is being promoted and I didn't get a fair chance to compete for this one? I've seen some staggering stats from certain departments that approximately 80% of their staffing actions were via non-advertised. And to me, this is simply unacceptable. You need, like, there's a time and a place for non-advertised. I can tell you the average from all departments was about 50%, so one out of two staffing actions were non-advertised, and even that seems high, but I'm willing to let that go for now, just because the staffing is broken, right? So I get why a hiring manager would prefer non-advertised, because it's just quicker. The average competition now from the latest stats from the Public Service Commission is that the competition takes about 6 months to run. And by the time you've actually done the competition, the people that were on the pools had already found other jobs. So it's definitely an issue, but the workaround here is not to circumvent the staffing process. So the action that ACFO is taking now is we've asked every department that was higher than 50%, we've asked them, well, what's happening? And the good news is because we've ATIP'd it, the information doesn't come from us, it comes from them. So they have to actually try to understand their own numbers. But what we're asking of you guys is to keep feeding us this information, because when you see someone being promoted and you find it unfair, and it's not necessarily against the person that was promoted, if you feel as if your department is not running enough competitions and people are being promoted right and left because of who they know instead of the fair process, flag it to us. And to that extent, we'll be setting up an anonymous disclosure line within the next month by which members will be able to anonymously disclose any competition that they feel wasn't done fairly. So we've had FIs bring information to us, for example, saying, you know, someone is being promoted now and they don't meet the language requirements, or they're being given a long-term acting and they don't understand why. So the we're only as good as challenging the employer, as good as the members feed us this information, because you guys have the intel. We know that you know what's not passing the smell test. The ACFO, unfortunately, doesn't have the capacity to examine every single appointment process because we don't have that information. But by you guys informing us, either by email or just anonymously through this disclosure program, it really helps us ask questions to the employer. And I will tell you, I have seen direct impact now. There's departments like PSPC that before they appoint anyone through a non-advertised competition, they will reach out to us and really explain why this person is being promoted. And the sheer fact that they know we're monitoring it makes them more cognizant of, okay, well, I think we've done too many non-advertised. I will tell you, certain departments weren't even aware to the extent by which they were actively using the non-advertised. So if you have information on competitions that you feel aren't up to par, please let us know. The State of the FI Community Survey, this is the annual survey we normally send out. It'll be coming out again. I don't know when now. I can't give you a date simply because COVID-19 is really throwing things off the check track. We've listened to your feedback, so we've made it shorter this year because some of the comments we've received was a bit too long. But I would strongly encourage you to ask your fellow coworkers to complete this survey, because for us at ACFO, it is a golden document that I can go directly to your CFOs and say, hey, here's the trends. Here where we're hearing from the rank and file, and I know there's certain CFOs that want to know the results of this survey because it's directly from you guys. There's no filtering. It's anonymous. You put the information and it speaks for itself because these are not ad hoc here. No, these are the more members complete these surveys, the more data, the more robustness that we have behind the statement. So as soon as we know the information of one that comes out, we will let you know. Item number 7, the public service healthcare plan. I don't know if you guys remember this. Back in, I believe it was November of 2017, we asked our members, when it comes to the public service healthcare plan, what is something you would like to see improved? Some people are not aware that the healthcare plan is not negotiated via the collective agreement. I wish it were, but it's not the case. So we've asked you guys what you want to see improved because, let's be honest, it is fairly behind the private sector, behind anyone. You know, the $275 for glasses doesn't get you much these days. So we've asked for your input, and based on that, I can share with you now, here were the top 5 most common suggested items. The first one I have already mentioned was increase the vision care and eye surgery. It's the most common one. The second was increase the cap on massage therapy and remove the requirement from the doctor's note. The third one was increase the payment for drug coverage. So currently it's 80%, so increase that to 90 or 100%. The fourth one was eliminate the out-of-pocket expenses for physiotherapy between $500 and $1,000, so increase the cap on treatments. And the fifth one was to allow for electronic submissions, which I believe is either currently activated or will be activated shortly. Now, those are the most popular requests. When it comes to healthcare, though, it's very difficult because there might be some requests that are not popular but can be life-changing. So if you need a specific drug medication that's not currently covered, but that specific drug might cost you, I don't know, $700 a month, that's life-changing. So ACFOs provided our input with all the other unions, and those combined now become the common proposals from the unions. The employer right now has not received their mandate when it comes to the public service healthcare plan. We do have our proposals. They don't have theirs yet. I can tell you, I know this for sure, one of the things that will be coming from the employer is to remove the brand name drugs. So the employer would want for the generics to be the standard unless your doctor specifies no substitutions. Now, this is a big ticket item because this implies millions and millions of savings, and we want to make sure that should we choose to accept this, that those savings would then be reinvested to the employees. What we don't want is for the employer to say, great, we're going to generics instead of brand names. We save, I don't know, $30 million, and then they pocket that money. No, that's not going to fly. So we want to make sure there's options so that if someone, for example, doesn't have the tolerance for generic, that they still have access to brand names if need be, but any savings are reinvested into the plan. So we are ready to go forward with this from our standpoint, our proposals, but because there's no mandate from the employer, there's not much negotiation happening. In terms of timelines, I suspect this will take at least a year, if not more. It could be 2 to 3 years, depending on what happens with the government. There's a minority government right now. The last time we negotiated this plan, I believe, was probably in 2013-ish. So this window doesn't happen very often. But when it does, we want to make sure that we can really move the bar forward because we're so behind right now. I'm sure you have family members that have better health care coverage than you do. So it is a priority, but this is not through collective bargaining. This is through the National Joint Council, which is a combination now of 19 other unions. Anything to add to that, Scott, or no?
No.
The coronavirus, so I talked about the possibility of a PSAC strike. Scott, over to you for that one.
The Alliance has delayed their strike vote, so it's likely that the possibility of a PSAC strike has been pushed off, along with all these other things because of COVID-19. It's likely that at some point they will have their strike vote, and it's a very, at this point, looks likely that there will be a strike. but I would suspect that's some time off. We've had a lot of questions from members on what to do in the event of a strike. I'll just say that it's kind of like the advice we're giving on COVID. If there's a strike and it's blocking your workplace, you're supposed to call your manager and get instructions. They may send you home. They may send you an alternate workplace. And then finally, ACFO is working on the provision of electronic membership cards to everybody. So if you're at a picket line and looking for union membership to pass that picket line, you'll have something to show them. And in the interim, if you're worried about this and want to get a card, we have the capacity to provide cards presently of an older style through Mickey at information at acfo-acf.com.
That's a good point, Scott. You know, whenever you're concerned for your safety, inform your manager. You shouldn't be stressed out going to work. You shouldn't be wondering what's going to happen if I cross this picket line. We definitely support PSAC's right to strike, and we encourage them to do so if they feel that's the best move for them. But at the end of the day, you have to report to work if you're not on strike. But if you're concerned for your safety, you inform your manager saying, you know what, there's a strong picket line here. I don't feel comfortable. Inform them, and you talk that through. And if you don't feel like you're getting good advice or your manager's not being understanding, please let us know. I'm more than happy to work through that with you. Item number 10, the Joint Career Development Program. Again, this will probably be pushed out further, but I'm happy to announce that it's back again this year. So this is the $1 million training fund. It'll be very similar to last year. So many courses will be available for FIs. The call letter is scheduled to come out at the end of April, and you'll have about a month to apply, and this is how you rank which course you'd like to take. We're going to be bringing, you know, the FI interchange. There's a spring tune-up. There's comms courses. There's PD days in the regions. There's something for everyone on there, and the best part is absolutely free, so I encourage you to apply. I will tell you, on average, there's about 1,000 people that apply for this, but we've got 5,000 members. So to me, there's no reason why we shouldn't have at least 3,000 people applying for this. So I strongly encourage you to support this the JCDP, because it's great training, and the best part is it's free. Item number 11 is the Controllership Training Center. ACFO is now really providing courses for you guys that we feel are relevant. So these are not free, however. They are cheaper than market. They're about $450 to $490. The good thing about taking a course with ACFO, for example, we have a comms course given by our Director of Communications, Joe Bugner. We will use real-life examples for you guys. We bring examples from the FI community because it's more relevant to you. And on that note, we're actually working on an ethics course, because we know there's a CPA requirement that requires you guys to take a four-hour course on ethics. So we're going to be bringing the theory, but with real-life examples. I think we all know ethics. Okay, you know, you do this, you don't do that. But what do you do when your manager is telling you, hey, I want you to code this transaction to training instead of conference, because, you know, there's a cap on conference and not on training, and you're not comfortable because you know what the manager's trying to do. Should you put your career on the line and escalate, or should you just make a recommendation? So we really want to bring real-life examples to you guys, because I feel that's the best way you'll actually learn is through a real-life example that another FI has been through. So stay tuned for more information on the Controllership Training Center. The last item before I go back to Slido for more questions, I want to talk about the membership link. So at ACFO now, we've invested into a new membership services database. Because the information we're getting from TBS about our members is outdated and or inaccurate. So we want to do a test pilot with the reps. So at some point, ACFO is going to be sending you guys a link where you can update your profile. What's your name, your FI level, your department? We really want members to be able to update their own information so that we know, have you been promoted to an FI3? Have you moved over to another department? Is your email address still valid? And if so, do you have another backup one you'd like us to use? Because when we have big, important messages like COVID-19, and some people will say, oh, I didn't get the email, well, because they changed departments and didn't let us know because we have their work email. So we want to make sure that we test this out. We feel by testing it with the reps, is really the best way to go, because you guys can really give us the feedback that we need.
Can you read some of the questions?
All right, if you go back to the questions. Yeah, Scott, please.
Can we share the contents of this meeting with management or not? You mentioned it was being recorded.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Will the scholarship for members' children be launched again?
Yes.
What is ACFO's position on the absorption of workload as a result of a PSAC strike action? Some of us will have to absorb a lot of work as a result.
That's a very good question. So in case of a strike, or even if it's not a strike for that matter, if you are being asked to do a task that was not initially part of your duties, or an increase in your workload, so you normally do these tasks, but now you have a significant increase in your workload, bring that up with your manager. And if you feel, again, that it's not fair, it doesn't make any sense, please let us know. Normally, the easy answer would be simple. Go pull out your job description and see if it fits with your job description. But I've mentioned this many times. 99% of the job descriptions are either completely outdated or so generic that it's difficult for you to understand, well, is this part of my job description or not? But that's my high-level comment. Scott, I'll let you comment more on this one.
No, I mean, that encapsulates the reality. On individual cases, that's what we're here for once again, right? So it's one thing to have a few extra duties assigned to you that arguably fit in with your job description. If it was something entirely outside the realm of what an FI would do, like now you're going to be a commissionaire, then you contact us. Or things that fall well outside of what you're doing, like fixing Phoenix pay files.
Right.
For example.
I could easily see, you know, if an AS goes on strike and you're being asked to now do some data entry because you have the skill set, but your manager says, you know what, you want to help out here, there's a strike and it's really important. It does put you in a difficult situation because you might want to say on one hand, hey, I want to help out and it's a good opportunity for me to shine and be a team player here. But if someone starts doing that, who's to say that these duties now will not become your duties? And really, you shouldn't be doing something that doesn't fall under your spectrum of responsibility. I gave this example once. If every year you only take on 5% more of workload, well, after 10 years, you've just increased your workload by half. So it's really important to know what duties you're being asked to do. Does it fall within your responsibility? And if you're not sure, contact us. We want to make sure that we are respectful of PSAC, but also of our own members so that their duties don't fall on you guys.
Danny, I don't know if you answered this earlier or not, but Sylvain is asking, for the new pay system, will it be tested with real and representative data?
Oui, Sylvain, merci de ta question. Absolutely. So that's one of the evidence we put forward was, if you really want to, part of testing the new software will be to run it using past data. So not just theoretical data. You take, for example, the year 2008, and you run through every single pay action that was done. Because until you use real data, you can't really test. And that's one of the main failings that came through Phoenix was we tested a couple of samples. No, test everything, every single transaction that went through a fiscal year. It's not perfect, but at least you're using real data.
Danny, Nick wanted me to share just another bit of information on Slack. Can I go through his notes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because Nick muted on the line. He just wants you to know that he's going to be actively monitoring and posting in the rep forum on Slack. Essentially, it's open on his computer all the time. If you have questions or have information to share regarding your department, please ask and post on Slack. The more that you share your departmental practices, the better we can address ones that are out of line with the directions from the central agencies. If you're not on Slack yet, you can message Lauren, and she'll add you.
Thanks, Scott. Someone just asked a question regarding the June spring tune-up, if we can share that. So we haven't informed the members yet about the postponing of the spring tune-up, simply because I'm hoping by the end of the week we will have a new date confirmed. We're working with either EY Center or the Shaw Center to lock in new dates. So we will be informing anyone or even the members as soon as we have new dates locked up, because what we wouldn't want is for members to think it's canceled. And if we postpone it, we'd rather get the message out with the new dates so people can start planning. So as soon as we have those dates, we will let you guys know. Just going through the questions on Slido, I think we may have addressed all of them in one way, shape, or form.
There's a new one on non-ad.
Thank you, Scott. What are your thoughts on doing a non-ad for an employee who is successful in a staffing process with another department and we want to retain them? Let me read this. What are your thoughts on doing a non-ad for an employee who is successful? Okay, yeah, well, it's a good question. We see this more and more often, right? So, for example, like Global Affairs, they do this a lot. They were one of the highest rank in terms of non-advertised. So if this happens every once in a while, I'm fine with it. It is an issue when a department is no longer doing competitions of their own and encouraging pulling off other pools, because then if you're an FI in that department and you did not apply for a pool from another department, you're being penalized. So if departments are saying, you know, we run our own competitions and we've exhausted that pool and for now we're going to go to another pool, I'm fine with that. Where I'm not okay with it is if a department doesn't run any competitions for 2 years and starts taking off everyone else's pools, the other departments I mean, because the FIs in that department didn't get a chance to actually get that job because they weren't applying for pools on other departments because maybe they don't want to work for another department. Maybe they want to stay in their department and that's why they're not applying for another pool.
There's another question that I can answer on. Will there be a clear definition of critical / essential? The answer to that is there will not probably be a simple definition of critical that's going to be able to help your average member or manager decide whether a particular position is critical or not. I just want to underscore that ACFO has about 300 to 500 essential designations. The critical positions are almost all going to come from, they're going to be a fraction of those essential positions. And the best thing to do if there's a debate about whether your position is critical or not is to contact LR. And we'll probably be raising these with the heads of LR in the departments and OCRO if there's a debate. What will happen is eventually we'll have a clearer picture based on these individual cases of what is and isn't. But I think it's highly unlikely that there's going to be an easy definition sent out that will just make it easy to determine on the ground whether a position is critical or not. But they are very few and far between. Some departments are going to have more than others.
I would put it this way, guys. At this point, if you are critical, it would be made clear, very clear to you. I suspect less than 2% of FIs would be deemed critical. And if you're not sure, ask your employer. If your employer says you are critical and you disagree, please let us know. I really can't think of more than, I'd say, 100 FIs that would be deemed critical. Another question came in, if the teleconference will be made available. Yes, we'll be sharing teleconference with the reps, and hopefully we'll find a way to share it with the members as well. Feel free to share this with anyone you want. There's nothing we said here that's confidential. The employer, and if anyone listening to this wants to become a rep because of this, feel free to reach out to ACFO. More than happy to take new reps in different departments. One last question before we go to the French line. Can you supply examples of essential positions and departments? We have no FIs designated.
Honestly, at this time, no, we can't, because really what we have is a list that was developed 10 years ago. We would have to be going into, it's not really an exercise that's going to be very helpful in determining who's critical. It would take a lot of time that we don't have to go through that essential list. If you're designated essential, you would know you're designated essential. At this point in time, it's not the same thing. Essential isn't the same thing as critical. We're going to help members determine if their position is critical or not. And if there's any doubt, contact LR. I do have one other thing, a question to answer that hasn't been asked.
Yes.
If you have a grievance or if a member asks you about their grievance, we are doing bulk abeyances. So basically all of the other initiatives we work on, all the grievances, all the hearings are likely all stop right now. They're being put in abeyance. Our default is until April 6th at this point in time. So you can expect that if your file has deadlines, that it is in abeyance until April 6th. That being said, LR is still answering questions that aren't about COVID-19. We're still doing it in the same business day. We're hopeful that won't change. So do feel free to contact LR if you have a question that's not related to COVID. That's what we're here for as well.
All right. On that, everyone, if you have more questions, please feel free to email us. We're going to have to end this here because the French teleconference is starting soon. So thank you for everyone for joining us. I know these are difficult times. Please, if you have any questions, let us know. But stay safe, not just for you, for your family, for the public. Really, it's important to do so. So if something doesn't pass the smell test, you don't feel comfortable, you're concerned, we're there for you guys. So thank you for joining us. Take care.